Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to help the military community thrive in their civilian career. Today is episode number 362, Hope Unseen, Part 2, with Tiffany Smiley.
And so when they brought me in the room, since I had power of attorney, I remember feeling really intimidated, but then at the same time, I remember, like I said, I had a boundary, and it was like I had already made up my mind, like, I'm going here. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm rising above this, and no one will stop me. And so when they said, you know, sign the medical retirement paperwork to retire Scotty, I said no. And I'll never forget it. The doctor, you know, shoved it a little closer, and he said, Mrs. Smiley, let me remind you, your husband has no eyes. There has never been someone blind to continue service. Like, they were kind of like, why wouldn't you sign it? And I said, no, I'm not signing it. And I don't think they'd ever heard that before.
2 weeks ago, I interviewed Scotty Smiley for episode 359. As soon as the interview was over, I emailed Scotty's wife, Tiffany, to set up an interview because it was clear from Scotty's story how big of a role she played in Scotty's recovery and success. I'm so glad I did. Tiffany is an incredible woman, and this interview is such a powerful reminder of how military spouses are often the unsung heroes in our country. I was moved to tears in our conversation and hope you appreciate Tiffany's story of strength, resilience, and optimism. I'm very grateful because this episode was made possible through a financial sponsorship through the University of Minnesota's Carlson School of Management, and I want to share a little bit more about them. Whether you're transitioning to a civilian career or continuing military service, an MBA from Carlson at the University of Minnesota prepares you for a high-impact career in business. Carlson is committed to the veteran community and provides the benefits, experiential learning, and network to accelerate your career. In addition to a resident tuition waiver, all admitted full-time MBA military candidates receive generous scholarships and stipends to cover expenses that may not be eligible for the GI Bill. To learn more, you can visit the show notes at beyonduniform.org for this episode, or you can email mba@umn.edu to learn more. That's Mike Bravo Alpha at uniformmikenovember.edu. So with that, let's dive into my conversation with Tiffany. Well, joining me today in Pasco, Washington, my guest is Tiffany Smiley. Tiffany, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I want to embarrassedly give listeners a little bit of context for this. Recently, I interviewed Scotty Smiley, and about 10 minutes into the conversation, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I've got to talk to Tiffany, because if you've listened to that interview, well, first of all, if you haven't listened to the interview, stop and go do that. And if you have, you know what a constant thread Tiffany is throughout Scotty's story. And the thing that occurred to me before I even wrapped up the interview was, first of all, I think military spouses are an extremely underappreciated part of the military ecosystem. And then second of all, if you hear Scotty's story of recovery, you know that in the background, there is this backbone of support helping him along, and that's often the unsung hero. And so I wanted to connect with Tiffany. And then since I reached out to her right after the call, I've learned about her background and am embarrassed I didn't do this first, but she's got an incredible background that she's built up. And so I want to give listeners just a quick abbreviated bio. So Tiffany was born and raised in Pasco, Washington. She married Scotty Smiley, who was her high school sweetheart. They met as teenagers and never looked back, even as Tiffany attended Whitworth University to become a nurse and Scotty attended West Point. In 2005, as you know from his interview, Scotty was deployed in Iraq and he was injured by a suicide car bomb where he lost his eyesight. Tiffany, who was working as a full-time nurse at the time, left her job to care for him. Scotty and Tiffany founded Hope Unseen in 2010 in an effort to use their story to help and inspire others. They have appeared on Fox News, CBS, CNN, The Katie Couric Show, and multiple newspapers and magazines. And in 2016, Tiffany launched TiffanySmiley.com, a platform that she hoped would empower women to overcome whatever circumstances they were facing and to uncover true joy in their lives. Through her candid writings, the site reaches thousands of readers each month and has given Tiffany a platform to encourage women to be strong and join together for the good of those around them. And she runs a site called More Than Me. I'm sure we'll talk about all these, but I'll have links to each of them in the show notes. So first of all, Tiffany, let me take a breath here and say anything to add or amend to that introduction.
You know, it's not at all. I life is about relationships and it's about people. And, you know, it's about serving others. And I think that's something our military families, service members and spouses do so well. And so I've just used, you know, the skills and the opportunities in front of me and used it to try to always make an impact in other people's lives.
That's wonderful. Well, maybe take us back to what you remember when you first heard about Scotty's injury.
Yes, you know, it's hard being a military spouse because, you know, when they're deployed, you're the one home just waiting. You don't know what's going on. You're not present in that, you know, war moment. And you often don't hear from them for long periods of time. And I'll never forget this moment, right? You know, it was a few months before I got the call on April 6th of 2005. But I came home from my nursing shift and I turned on Fox News and it was Scotty, Geraldo Rivera was embedded with him. So there's my husband. I hadn't talked to him in weeks and he's running around on the news. Bombs are going off. Geraldo's reporting. And it was this really surreal moment. It kind of takes your breath away and you realize this service or this sacrifice, you know, it's not just Scotty. It was me, you know, coming home from a nursing shift and turning that on and then having to just go about your day like everything's normal. But on April 6th of 2005, you know, we keep our phones really close to us because, you know, our friends, family, they call at random times. And so this time my phone rang at 3 a.m. in the morning and I was excited initially because Scotty would call at different times. But when I picked up the phone, it became very clear that it wasn't Scotty. It was his commander who's a dear friend. And he just said, I'm so sorry. And in that moment that he said, I'm so sorry, you know, I knew it was one of two things. Either Scotty was gone or it was really bad. And he just said, you know, he came face to face with a suicide car bomb. He said there's shrapnel in his eyes. I just put him on a Black Hawk and he had flatlined several times. And he said, I don't know if he's going to survive, but one thing I know is he's probably never going to see again. And then this, you know, hero, this G.I. Joe Army guy, Ranger, just started sobbing. And it was in that moment that I knew our so-called American dream just blew up into a million pieces. Our world was shattered. I couldn't go see Scotty. There's nothing you could do. So I sat for about 4 days, just trying to determine, you know, do I need to go out to Germany? You know, they're trying to stabilize him. If he was going to pass away, I would have to fly out there. So for 4 days, I couldn't see Scotty, talk to him, engage with him at all.
And at this point, do you have children? Or at this point in the story?
We had only been married about a year and a half when that happened. And so no kids. I was just working as a nurse, emergency department nurse, and I would work double shifts. I just work all the time. It's like, it was better to be distracted and work and take care of people like I knew how to do than, you know, have to worry and fret. And so, you know, as military spouses, you really hold that guard of being strong. And because if I wasn't okay, Scotty couldn't have gone on and done his job. But in that moment, it all blew up into a million pieces and had no idea how we were going to put them back together. Had no idea if it was even possible. But one thing I knew is I'd try my hardest. And I resigned from my nursing job that next day. After I got the phone call, I told them I'm not coming back. And I took my first one-way flight ever out to Washington, D.C. To meet Scotty and figure out how to put this crazy, you know, literally the bomb went off in our life. And so met him there to try to put it back together.
Mm. He mentioned this, man, I feel emotional just even talking about it. The level of uncertainty and just, the whiplash that, you know, I just feel like in 350 of these interviews, we talk about, the fear and challenge that people in Scotty's position must feel. And that's not meant to by any means undercut what they've done, but then to realize, you know, all the focus of this show and of so much of our community goes on supporting those heroes. And yes. I'm just trying to put myself in your shoes of having a full-time job and being exhausted and then just the tremendous amount of uncertainty, and then to have this thrust on you and to be in a spot where, I mean, you didn't raise your hand and take this oath. Like, you obviously you took a different oath in marrying Scotty, but to sign up for this and right. to literally overnight set your career and your life on hold, and then to walk in to that uncertain environment, it's just overwhelming. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it, you know, it's a moment. I always tell people, though, those moments are really seared in my heart and my mind. And I've actually had to do a lot of work to get over the trauma of it. And it's something a lot of people don't really talk about, but I know the colors, I know the sights, I know the smells. And I remember walking into his room, and like you're talking about that overwhelming feeling, and it hit me like, you just resigned from your job, Tiffany. And I see him broke, totally blind, paralyzed on the right side of his body. The military's coming at me hardcore saying, you need to, he needs to move on. He needs to medically retire. And I remember thinking, what have I just done? Or like, did I just make the right choice? Or are we going to be begging on the street for money? I mean, seriously, it was the lowest of lows. But then it was also this moment where I had to go, okay, you have a choice. And, you know, it really speaks to the power of championing others. And it speaks to the power of what you think is possible. So I immediately thought, okay, there's got to be opportunity. There's got to be. Like, this can't be the end all be all. This can't, you know, this hopeless situation, this destruction. And, you know, people were constantly every day coming in and telling us how horrible it was. And I mean, I knew it, but at the same time I thought, okay, I'm going to be the one person who says this can be something else.
That was the moment of the interview that just kind of floored me, is the way I remember him saying it was that he was in the hospital and, you know, obviously in a very low point. And what I remember him saying was that you said, Scotty, you're going to write a book, you're going to give a speech, you're going to do, and it was chilling because knowing his bio, like, he went on to do all those things. Like, where did that come from?
You know, it really came from this space of, we're at rock bottom and we have nothing to lose. We, like, everything was lost, right? Mm-hmm. All was lost. But I also believe that all isn't lost. And it's often in those moments that it's a transforming trajectory to our future. And it was just a choice. And so I knew, like, we were, you know, Scotty was 24. Scotty was 25. I was 24 years old. I had just turned 24 years old. And so we had our whole life ahead of us, and everyone's telling us, like, our future's not bright. And I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute, you know? So I said, I'm going to be the person who never tells Scotty he can't do something. And so I would just walk in every day and I would say, you're going to be a speaker, you're going to be a teacher, you're going to write a book. And people thought I was crazy. Scotty even thought I was crazy. I remember one time he said, you know, I can't even get up to go to the bathroom. Like, what are you talking about? Like, get out of here. I don't even know what you're talking about. But the next day I would come in and I would say it again. I believed in my vision. of a better future, of opportunity, more than I believed in anyone else's doubt. Because when all is stripped from you, I mean, you can choose that path. I mean, you can. And I think we've all had our moments where we've wallowed in that hopelessness. And believe me, I have as well. But then there was also the other side of it is like, well, you have a choice to do the opposite. And I was totally sold out to that goal, to making this hopeless situation so much more than what everyone was saying.
You talk about on your website how, and understandably, it's almost like you know, in this part of the story, you're the hero rushing in. Like you're the one that, I was going to say vision, but literally you are having the vision for your future. You are having to, you know, you're fulfilling what most of us say when we get married, like you're showing up at someone's worst point. One thing I was curious about is, so you talked about that later you had to process that trauma, like you didn't have the room there. And I'm just curious for two things. One is just learning your experience, like in Walter Reed, like how did you, if you did, like how did you take care of yourself in that horrific circumstance? And the flip side of that is kind of advice for listeners who unfortunately could be in that same position, whether it's a friend or a spouse or a brother or sister in arms, where they're having to show up for someone at a low point, of like how to both show up, but to also be able to take care of yourself so you don't get completely annihilated.
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, I had to learn that the hard way. But you know, at the same time, I don't know. That's a hard question because I'd never been in that situation before. And I think that that's a lot of us, right? We're often rushed into these traumatic moments or these really catastrophic things happen in our life and, or transitions. You know, there's been so many things that have come up since Scotty and I's life that it's like, we all experience these things. And so it's hard to know when you're navigating uncharted territory. But the only thing I can say is like, you never give up and you just keep picking yourself back up off the ground is really what it is. So did I take care of myself well? Absolutely not. But did I pick myself back up every single time and try to be better? Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, where it's at. And knowing that you are going to fall down, it is going to be hard. And I remember this one moment I was, you know, being a nurse, I looked around and I saw these service members so broken, and it was a really hard time to be at Walter Reed, and I wanted to help them how I was helping Scotty. I thought, gosh, there's another way to do this. There's another way to think about all of this. And I remember just crumpling up on the floor, and it was the yellow walls and Walter Reed, and I just started sobbing, and I made a promise to myself that someday when you can, you'll come back and you'll make it better. But right now you can't do it. It's not in your capacity. And one of the biggest things I learned along my journey is that it is so essential to take care of yourself, because as you do it, so like I said, I have fallen on my face several times, but then I always get back up and I want to be better. And as I've gotten better, as I've internally healed myself and strived to make space and boundaries for myself, I've been able to go out and help so many more people. And so I think it's a journey, and none of us have arrived at it, but it's just that, Matt, it's simple, right? Just getting back up and trying to be better next time.
I love that sense of having to enforce boundaries of like, I can imagine your heart going out to all of these people and then just kind of taking that breath and saying like, you know, my capacity right now is for myself and my husband. And I love that you set that intention of like, in the future I will come back. But I can imagine you had to do that in so many ways of just really reining in the fence around your family and realizing what's doable and what's out of your purview. And I think it's crazy. I didn't realize when I talked to Scotty that your background was as a nurse. I just think it's like, it seems like, it just seems so crazy to think that that was your background and then being able to show up there. And yes. And I just want to also name that in retrospect, I see, you know, you came out the other side of this crucible and it made you stronger and it made you have the capacity to serve so many more people. But I also think that saying that almost cheapens the crucible, where you didn't know what it was going to look like on the other side. You didn't know the, you know, thousands and thousands of people where you would directly influence their life. And it's just, it's just mind-boggling to think of that amount of uncertainty that you must have endured every day.
Every day. It was an incredible amount of uncertainty, but it's, I always say it's the little steps. So it was just those little steps and those uncertain moments of trusting that there could be something better. And it's the tiny little steps over time that lead into the big giant leaps. And, you know, I remember even at Walter Reed, they were asking me to sign the medical evaluation paperwork. And being a nurse, I have a different perspective. So I believed, you know, service members should be able to fully recover. They should be able to make the choice themselves. We should be doing more to help them in their transition. And I just saw great value in these men and women and who were coming back though injured, you know, great value in keeping them on board or finding, you know, space for them to be able to continue to serve. And so when they brought me in the room, since I had power of attorney, I remember feeling really intimidated, but then at the same time, I remember, like I said, I had a boundary and it was like, I had already made up my mind, like I'm going here. Mm-hmm. Like I'm rising above this and no one will stop me. And so when they said, you know, sign the medical retirement paperwork to retire Scotty, I said no. And I'll never forget it. The doctor, you know, shoved it a little closer and he said, Mrs. Smiley, let me remind you, your husband has no eyes. There has never been someone blind to continue service. Like they were kind of like, why wouldn't you sign it? And I said, no, I'm not signing it. And I don't think they'd ever heard that before. And so, I mean, the meeting didn't end very, I don't really remember. I think I shuffled out the door. They're probably like, who are we dealing with here? But I'm so glad looking back, like you said, in that crucible moment that I stood my ground and that I had no idea how it was going to work or if it was even possible. I really had no idea. I was just standing my ground. I was taking that one little step in that one moment. And that one little step led to a huge movement forward that I could not have anticipated, but it was that choice. It's actually the little moments that determine, you know, the big moments in the future.
Mm, that's beautiful. What would you like listeners to know about the work that you're doing now?
Yeah. So it's so fun. Like this is where I think life gets exciting, is I, you know, I'm a nurse. I'm biology and science and you know, helping people and putting together complex problems and then getting a good outcome. And so I started a business with Scotty, a speaking business. And I just laugh because here I went from a nurse to entrepreneur. And it is, I just think it's amazing what we can do with our lives and the opportunity that is out there. I always tell people, if a nurse can become an entrepreneur, anyone can do anything. But I just remember crying with the accountant on the phone, like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? What have I got myself into? And Scotty's kind of like, what are you doing throwing me out here speaking? I wrote a book, you know, can't they just read the book? And I'm like, no, you have to, you are changing people's lives. And I had a front row seat of that. So, you know, it's this interesting dynamic of Scotty and I's relationship too, is he can stand and share his story, but he's not seeing the faces of the people in the crowd. So I had this unique opportunity to sit there and watch his story really inspire and transform people. And so I told him, like, this isn't going away. You're going to get out there and speak. And so started our speaking business, which has been amazing. We've taken it to places that I never would have dreamed of. And I always tell people, like, I started from the very bottom. I had no idea how to build a speaking business. I really didn't. So I just started from the bottom. And you know how we kind of started this is it's about relationships and people. And I saw, you know, had all these incredible experiences and said yes and said no to things, but grew and learned in that process. And in that though, I realized as a woman, entrepreneur, military spouse, a wife, that it was very isolating and it was lonely. And it was hard to find resources. And it was hard to find help or the right people to work with. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to start a platform that makes this accessible, that makes professional and personal development easy, that you don't have to go scrap and fight for it. And I wanted women just to have a space to collaborate and connect and share services and grow their businesses. And so that's what rolled me into founding More Than Me, which is my digital and in-person platform with women. We're global now. So we have members in England and all over the nation, which is really, really cool.
That is awesome. If listeners are excited about the work that you're doing and they want to support you or Scotty, what's the best way for them to do that?
We both publicly speak. Obviously we are in a different world right now. So all of our contracts got pushed to 2021, but we are still out there sharing our message of hope and resilience and bringing teams together to overcome, you know, missions or obstacles that seem impossible. So we speak independently, we speak together. Independently, I speak on resilience and confidence and how to build that in the workplace. To build effective teams. And then through More Than Me, I would love, if there's any woman listening to this that resonates with her, join us. We are thriving and growing. And, you know, I'm a firm believer. I've lived it my whole life, but there is always opportunity around us.
I love that. For listeners at beyondtheuniform.org in the show notes, I'll have links to all of these, but would really, you know, I think it's easy when you hear stories like this to just kind of nod your head. But you know, if what Tiffany is saying resonates with you, don't wait, take action, you know, add your name to her mailing list or subscribe to her podcast, like take some step, because these things can slip by so easily. And, you know, regardless of your life path, we all face setbacks. We all face isolation. And this message that you have around hope and resilience and tenacity, I think that's something we all need more of. And I love that you've built a community, because, you know, that is, I'm imagining, such a vital piece of this, is having people around you to support you and to buoy you when you're going through these downtimes, and also people that you can share your advice with and pay things forward. So I think it's really, really incredible, but what you have built together, but also what you've built on your own as well.
Thank you. Yeah.
Last thing is just if someone is listening and they are going through maybe not as severe as the circumstances you went through, but in the grand scheme of their life, maybe it is a trying time where they don't know what to do, or they want to give up, or they're needing to support someone and they're feeling empty as well. What advice would you give to them about finding a way through these challenging times?
Well, number one, I always say is never, never quit. Never, never give up. And it's often at our hardest points that there's a breakthrough about to happen, or a opportunity that you've been waiting for. So never ever give up. But also, you have to reach out for help. I think that's one of the hardest things to do. It was really, really hard for me, and like I said, I learned the hard way. But you have to reach out. You have to stay curious. And you have to remember that there is a solution to every single problem we face. And I know it can feel hard in the moment, and it can feel like this is the rest of your life, and it can feel like there's no other option, but I'm here to tell you that there is a solution to everything. So don't be afraid to reach out. I say reach out and reach up, like grab someone's hand and let them pull you up. We all need each other. We don't do it alone. And so that's what I would share with them, is to realize that this, and this very hard moment that you're in right now, in 5 years can be, you know, the transforming moment that you're able to help others and share your journey and share that moment, because we are connected by our stories. It's the thread of our stories that change the world. So don't hide your voice from us. We need each other, and we need each other's stories.
I think that's so powerful, because I just think you're such an incredible example of, in that darkest moment, envisioning and envisioning that possibility. And it's so powerful, because what you envisioned came to fruition, which is not, I don't think that's a necessary component, but being able to have that spark of hope, that's the light at the end of the tunnel, to be able to continue slogging through, is incredible. And yeah, I love that message of resilience. It's very powerful. So thank you for your example. Thank you. Oh, the other piece is, I love that sense too, of that whoever's going through that difficult time, knowing that their voice will make an impact, knowing that their story will help someone else. And you're, again, an example of that, where your story has helped so many people and continues to. And so thank you for the way that you show up in the world, and thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for the support you were to Scotty and continue to be, and the example you are to so many. Beyond the Uniform is written and produced by me, Justin Nasiri, with help from our Chief of Staff, Steve Bain, and our editor, Kathleen Dillon. We are an all-volunteer organization and would greatly appreciate your help in any of the following ways. First, spread the word. Beyond the Uniform has over 330 podcast episodes and 15 on-demand webinars, all offered for free. Help us spread the word on social media, at military bases, or whatever gets this resource in front of more men and women who need it. Positive reviews on iTunes go a long way towards this as well. Second, sponsorship. Beyond the Uniform relies on sponsorship to keep us going. There is so much more we'd like to do, but we don't have nearly the resources to do so. If you know of a company that would like to advertise in any way with Beyond the Uniform, please send them to beyondtheuniform.org. Third, donations. If you're in a financial position to donate, you can find more information on the support section of beyondtheuniform.org. At our website, beyondtheuniform.org, you'll also find 330-plus episodes categorized by industry, functional role, and more. You'll find a link for live events, typically 4 per month. You'll also find both free and for purchase books that take a deeper dive on topics related to career growth. Thank you for your support as we aim to help members of the military and their families thrive in their post-military career and life.